Hello, this is Beauty and Wellness Talk with Amira Adawe. Today, our guest is Toyi Alatiche, who is a psychologist that's based in Nigeria. And we will be discussing about the skin lighting practices and chemical exposures in Nigeria and the psychological impacts that's associated with skin lighting practices. Welcome, Toyi, to the show today.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. So could you talk about your education and work experience background so the listeners know your expertise and your background?
Okay. I have my BSc and MSc in psychology, but I did a major in clinical psychology for my master's. And so my area of expertise is mood disorders, which are mainly anxiety and depression. Then the PTSD is involved too, and other affective disorders.
Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you. It's so great to have you on this show today. You know, thank you. So, you know, skin lighting is highly prevalent. This is becoming a worldwide public health issue. It's highly prevalent in Nigeria, according to the WHO data. 77% of Nigerian women do practice skin lighting, and other parts of Africa and Asia at the same time. So, could you talk about a little bit about the skin lighting practices in Nigeria?
It's becoming more and more. Like a business that people thrive on now, you know, it's mm-hmm. more like using people's internal insecurities, you know, mm-hmm. and making profits with that. I said internal insecurity because it has to do majorly with self-esteem issue before you can mm-hmm. actually feel there's need to change a particular aspect of your body. It means you don't feel comfortable in it enough. And this is what the people that are into this bleaching industry are seeing, and they are externalizing it and making profit out of it. So, yes, mm-hmm. it's becoming more like a business empire here in Nigeria.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, it's everywhere actually, in Asia, even here in the US, we have a lot of communities that practice skin lighting, and it's a business, but we also have that, public health issue that people are getting exposed to, very toxic chemicals. So do you see any, skin lighting, chemical exposures, in Nigeria? Like chemicals like mercury and hydroquinone and other topical.
Of course, most of the chemicals in the skin bleaching cream include mercury and hydroquinone, and yes, mm-hmm. they have its effect on the skin. Of course, they are meant to bleach off the melanin and make it lighter.
Yeah.
But that is superficial. What it does to the system, your nervous system, is much more than what meets the eye. Yes, it affects mm-hmm. the kidney. Yes, most people would be thinking, how does applying this skin bleaching cream on my skin, well, how does it have mm-hmm. to affect my kidney? Of course, you're applying creams on the skin which has pores. Yes, it goes into your system and it comes in contact with other organs in the system, and this mm-hmm. Is exposing the skin to great infections too. That is fungal infection, bacteria infection. It can cause cancer, liver cancer. It can make because you're bleaching off the protection of the skin. It's making the skin more susceptible to diseases. So when the kidney fails, yes, it has really adverse effects. Of course, you want to look whiter because you feel the standard of how do I put it, you're using the standard of a particular race as beauty, mm-hmm. but what you're doing to your system is far more than what you want to project. You want to look beautiful. Yes, the definition of beauty of you having a whiter skin, but what you're doing to yourself is a greater damage.
Yes,
and so yes, there are other risks to As I mentioned, body rashes, discoloration, because most of the time there's never an even color. And yes, for some, I've seen a pregnant woman actually use cream. I've seen one, and I was thinking, what? I think the doctor should take it upon themselves to educate them too. Yeah, pregnant women, they suffer. They have a high risk of having stillbirths with creams. Yes, it looks like normal thing to use just cream, but it has its adverse effects. Just to mention few.
Yes, it has huge adverse health effects that people need to understand. And these are like long-term effects. Some of the things you already talked about, the neurological effects.
Yes.
And so through your practice, you are a psychologist, and I read your interview about you commenting about the psychological impact about this issue. And I'm glad that you actually talked about that part, because that's a part that needs to be talked a lot to. So could you talk about the psychological impact that's associated with skin lighting practices?
Okay, there was a research I carried out during my master's thesis. It has to do with body image dissatisfaction. Yes, it's a psychological condition. It's either it's under body dysmorphic disorder. It means that there are some parts of you which you're not okay with, which you don't feel is fine. So my research was carried out among adolescents to tell you how this thing has been affecting or can have effect on children too. They grew up with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I found out that low self-esteem and the fear of negative evaluation has an adverse effect on body image dissatisfaction. Yes, the way you feel about yourself and the way you think people will evaluate you or people will see you.
Mm-hmm.
So it still borders around self-esteem. So it was found out that as early as age 13, people already are aware of their body image, and they are so conscious that, okay, there's a part of them they either need to change, either by slimming down or by changing their color, or by, you know, all those things. There are different levels to it, but this one we are discussing about is colorism, and it's one of the most popular one among body image dissatisfaction, which people feel, it's easier to get to change. It's easier for you to use something on it and get your preferred outcome.
Yeah, that's very interesting. So the research you carried out, was it like in high school, or like what age group was that?
Okay. It was between age 13 and 19. So it was carried out among high school. Yes, 13 and 19. It was carried out among high school students in Lagos.
And so when they talk about experiencing body image issues, is that something that people in their families keep telling them to use skin lighting, or it's like others are imposing on them and saying that they look certain way and they should be?
No one have to actually impose it on them. They see this. They come, at least they see people. They watch TV. In fact, what most of them reported was what media is actually putting out to them, because they believe, okay, there's a particular benchmark, or let's say a particular what's the word I'm looking for?
Particular way of looking.
Like there's a particular standard. Yes, there's a particular standard for you to be beautiful, and part of it is having a lighter skin. And yes, what most people don't understand is beauty is very diverse. You can't have a standard definition or standard definition for beauty. What is beautiful to you may be different for me, and what fits you is quite different, because we all have different shapes, different background, different. We can't all be the same. Just like you mentioned earlier, Asia is different from Africa. Africa is different from Europe, and we cannot use those standard to now be a norm for Africa. Everyone, white is beautiful. Black is beautiful too. But you can't say you have to be whiter to be beautiful. No. So they had this notion in them by what social media puts up, what they see on TV, what they see in movies, and media is one of the major causes of what of their belief of the standard they've set for beauty. So most of them felt, okay, if for instance now all these models they use, even workers, bank workers, most of them that I've seen, they are majorly fairer because they feel they are more appealing to people. When you say, even if you look at toys they make, toys.
And there's a campaign that's going on now to actually develop more black toys. So it's represented. Yeah.
I think Figure 8 by Kate Enshaw, she's doing something like that to make people be aware that black is beautiful. Yeah. You can be black and still be beautiful. And these things have been going on for ages. And they don't know the effect now. They've set standard around. White baby dolls, white, you have to be fairer to be in adverts, to be a model, you have to have particular shape, a particular facial structure and all that. You understand? And yes, I know this is not part of it, but people that are into makeup and all of that stuff, they are making money out of this thing. You want to have a particular facial structure. You have to use some concealer, all these, you understand?
Yeah, chemicals,
and some people don't know what this, they still have effect. Yeah, they are still chemicals. They still have effect. And some face, you need to let your skin breathe too. But no, they want to have a picture perfect image. It's not, we can't all be perfect. And all these pictures we see, all these adverts we see, it takes, professionals to take pictures, takes different angle. They are not perfect. They only have to be picture perfect. I keep telling most people that I've seen that have this condition.
Yes.
It's picture perfect. Nobody is perfect. You can want to
you
be.
Can't be.
You can want it, but you can't be. It's only dolls that can be
that
perfect because you are molding them.
That's why we need to redefine beauty. Because if beauty standard is only one color, one face feature, or, you know, other,
of course.
You know, it's something that we actually collectively need to redefine beauty. And so, like, so in terms of the psychological impact, based on your research, have you included that in your practice to treat some of these conditions that people are experiencing based on the skin lining practices and other body image issues?
How do I put this? I've never worked directly with people that bleach or that into bleaching of skin. But when I did my project, I did an intervention program too, using cognitive behavioral therapy. It turned out to be a success because the initial project was to have a pretest which we were able to see that some children had body image dissatisfaction rather, and the post-test was the intervention plan, which worked. So the therapy was focused on how to see yourself in a lighter, in a more better way. You know, some of them were asked to always check themselves out in the mirror. What you see every day, what you say to yourself every day becomes who you are. So CBT is what will be used for people in that situation, but I have never worked with any adult in that category. But adolescent, yes,
yeah,
and it was a success. I did with
stigma. You know, although people practice, there's a stigma associated with the skin lighting practices, and so when you were conducting your study, were they willing to come forward and discuss about that they practice skin lighting? Because that's also another fear that people don't want to disclose, even if they want to come, even if they come into your practice, that they won't tell you that they're using, but externally you can see that they're using.
Mm-hmm. You can see, of course. But yeah. no one has ever admitted. I even saw someone around, I think last week.
Mm-hmm.
She was using a bleaching cream for her children, which the oldest of our kids would be around 5 years old. And I just asked, I think your children are reacting to the cream you are using to them, just for her not to think I'm accusing her of bleaching their skin. And she said, no, she's only using shea butter for them and the mm-hmm. mixture of one something and the mixture, like three different mixtures. And I had to tell her that, okay, maybe you should stop using those things. Just use shea butter alone so you can see if there will be changes. So most of them don't actually admit it, but we can see it.
Mm-hmm.
And part of what therapy needs to do is for you to know, yes. come to terms with what you are going through before we can actually help. You understand? So
exactly. And it's hard to change the behavior. All you help, can do you can, is actually can do. Educate them. So when you educate them, do they stop for a little while, stopping until the condition gets addressed? Like, I'm talking about the skin condition. Okay.
We can't actually tell because now, right now,
yeah.
the bleaching industry is actually growing. Yeah. So we need to intensify the education and, you know, health literacy. It's obvious that even if some are changing, the mm-hmm. percentage of people that are changing is much more lesser than the ones that are still into it. We had, that flew all the way from UK yes. or wherever she came from, Black China, to meet Bobo Risky and the rest. So, it shows that this networking thing is really booming
so
for them.
So how did that go?
They are making tons of money from
skin
it. So
we need, lighting there's product need for, a couple for, weeks ago in Nigeria. How did that people receive? Were they welcoming that idea?
Yeah. The video I saw, some people welcomed them. Some actually fought Black China and all that, but all in all, people that will buy are still buying. They might not want to show their face, but if they are not making money, they can't be putting mm-hmm. out so much, publicity for bleaching cream. So, people
so,
welcome
so
them
what
and
is, so,
the,
so
people
what's
in
the government
industry
doing
to
about
that.
This in terms of regulation and educating about the health, impacts?
I think, mm-hmm. I'm not certain, but that's one of the things we miss about the former NAFDAC head, Dora Akuili. No one is regulating it.
Yeah.
You can just be in your house and just mix up things and put it on social media. That's how it is now. And the way social media is, you don't have to actually meet this person or see them in person before you can make a purchase. Just send the money to their account and they send you your product. So there is going to be a regulation,
mm-hmm.
we have to be our brother and sister's keepers. If you know anybody doing such, you can report them because before you can start.
So
to
you
use
said
a
if
item,
you know, okay, so
especially
so you said
one
if
that
you know
is,
somebody that's using,
that
could you
can
repeat that part?
Else, there should be a regulatory body.
Yeah.
I'm saying if you know somebody that is mixing cream,
yeah,
that sells bleaching cream, because most of these people they just mix them in the corners of their room. They don't have they don't have companies
chemist,
that
yeah.
they don't even have
who
are
formulating,
what is like a biochemist or anybody that can say okay, yes. So they just Google all these ingredients and say oh. They found this thing on YouTube, how to mix it, and they just become a guru in whatever they feel they are doing. So most of them just do this in the corners of their room. I've read about a story that a neighbor was saying somebody was cooking this bleaching, whatever, mixing it in her room, and the smoke and everything was just disturbing her, and she didn't really know that was what she was doing. If you've ever been in that situation, it's mm-hmm. better you just report to the right authorities because they are killing us all. Even if you're not bleaching it, it's good to be your brother.
Yeah.
And
so like in terms of the public, if there is no government
really
that's regulating,
so it's
in terms of the public, are there at least the religious leaders or other leaders in communities who are campaigning against this issue? Is there any campaign that exists? Yeah.
Of course. Of course. Mm-hmm. Of course. There are so many campaigns, but most people are, the millennials now believe, there's freedom to everything. You should be able to decide what you want, what is good for you without any religious attachment.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, it's true. Mm-hmm. What they don't know is this thing is mm-hmm. detrimental to their health. You want to change your color, but there is a long-term effect. That's what we need to now keep adding to it. Yes, it is not good. We should look at it from the religious aspect. But now, we are looking at it from the physical health aspect too, mm-hmm. and the mental health aspect. What happens when you get your desired skin color? You keep bleaching it, and these skins has different layers. It will get mm-hmm. to a point where you bleach out the old layers, and you'll be left with the last layer, which is usually very
and
soft
and diseases,
thin.
Yeah.
And that way, you are exposing your... Mm-hmm. The whole skin to different kind of germs and bacteria. Mm-hmm. And then the skin will not be protecting you from sun. You get sunburned. You get that's when different colors will be coming up and all that. It's a long term effect. So
is it working for them? Well, is their effort
religious,
working?
Religion
at least
bodies
the,
that
like even a little bit.
It.
Yes. That's true, yeah.
That, you know, I mentioned earlier, I said, if it was working, this industry would not be booming. You understand? If it was, because I could remember reading about a story between Boboriski and one other woman in the bleaching industry. They had to take themselves to the police station and they said, okay, someone was trying to, it was like a competition. Like, okay, because I'm into bleaching cream, whatever, and you want to come after my mm-hmm. customers and all that, to tell you how open they are about these things. And it's not as if there's, I'm not certain. I mm-hmm. don't know what the product names are. Mm-hmm. Maybe if we know, we can check online, check if, NAFDAC actually approved it. Do you understand? So it's mm-hmm. booming for them.
Yeah,
and
that's very interesting.
Our
so in terms of the cultural
campaigns
change
and all
and
of that stuff,
having
beauty, much effect.
What do you think that we can do about this issue? And this is a worldwide. This is impacting all Africa. You know, all communities in Africa, other communities as well. And so, like in terms of changing the culture, because this is so embedded in the cultures, what are the things do you think that we can do? Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, I think self-acceptance mm-hmm. is key. It's so beautiful that when you understand. Okay, let me use myself for example. I understand my own kind of shape,
mm-hmm.
my body. And I know that, okay, if I see someone that wears a crop top and maybe a high waist skirt, I can appreciate it and say, wow, this fashion sense is so dope. But I know if I should wear that kind of mm-hmm. outfit, I'll look like a bag of tomato. You understand? Because I know mm-hmm. I'm much of a busty person, and to wear a crop top mm-hmm. to be showing the prominent side of me. Do you understand? So when you understand and accept mm-hmm. your kind of image, your body image, you feel comfortable, more comfortable in your skin, in your size, which you inform you not wanting to change your color, not wanting to change your weight, not wanting to change anything about yourself. When you understand it, you know the kind of fashion or the kind of color that suits your skin. That's why we have variety of colors. They are not there they are not just there. You understand what I'm saying? There are different things that blend and make your mm-hmm. skin pop. Because the people in the fashion industry already know, okay, we have to consider different skin types, different colors, different, you understand? Sure. So that's why there are variety for you to choose. And the ones you feel, oh, I could look good in this. If it doesn't suit you, you don't have to change your color to suit an outfit. Or you don't have to change your shape to suit an outfit. So when you accept yourself,
basically embracing who you are,
nothing can make you feel less about yourself. And just accepting
who you are. And I think that is
standard. Yes, you can appreciate them.
That is where people experience self-image issues and self-esteem and wanting to look like somebody else or
copying. Yes, of course, because we have people people compare themselves to other people, forgetting that we all have different
genetic makeup. We all have different where this issue came from. Siblings, skin lighting, alike. What do you think? So, like, how did this start in Africa? Yourself. Is this associated with colonization, or like, how did this start?
Well, I think it has to do with the colonization era. We all know the story, but we shouldn't now let that history define us.
Trauma.
Yes, we held on to the history so much that it causes war sometimes. It causes what's the word I'm looking for now? It causes the division. Understand? And now we want to hold on to it and say, yes, colonialism caused this. Yes, we already know what the causes are. What led
exactly?
Let's focus on the solution. Beauty is a diverse concept. I appreciate Indians, Asians, Europeans, and that's Americans. Where it becomes, they are all beautiful. Why can't you accept?
And that's where you're looking at those. We all black and everybody too, needs to really everything embrace
looks good
and respect
us.
Everybody for who they are and how
just
they
know
look
that
like.
Yes, some things will look.
Yeah. So.
Of course.
Yeah, that's
where there's beauty in diversity. So let's not limit it to one standard.
Individuals who are practicing skin lighting.
You don't have to be light skinned to be beautiful.
Resistant in stopping. Like, what's your advice? What will you say to them?
Okay, I'll just say, in the bit of wanting to look good to other people, or wanting to appeal to their sense and look beautiful, be labeled beautiful, don't die trying to be that, because you're killing yourself. That's just
That's great advice. Thank you so much to you for joining us today, Beauty and Wellness
Light
Talk.
Skin
thank you, and keep up your great work.
Because of your skin. Why you suffer internally.
Thanks, man.
Thank you. Yes, you're welcome. Thank you. Thank you, you too.